Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
I went to my business coach at the time. I told him, I was like, I'm crying in the shower way too frequently. My kids hate me. It's not working. I'm going to quit. And he was like, you need a VA. A VA? Mm-hmm. And he was like a virtual assistant. And he hooked me up with Ken Collier, who had a virtual staffing company. And I hired my first VA. And she changed my life. Mm-hmm. I was telling everybody. I was like at the PTO meetings for the school kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like telling the other moms about how my VA is helping me order groceries and planning my schedules, handling my life for me so mm-hmm. that I can be my best version of myself. And every single person said the same thing. I need a VA. Oh my God, did you hear that? I need a VA. So I trademarked the words, I need a VA. And I went to Ken and I was like, teach me. It's like history from there. Like all I do is talk about VAs.
Imagine making the next big investment in your business without worrying about how you secure the capital to do it. Every day you're putting in the work. You clock in at your job, you stay up late to work on your business, you handle your family responsibilities, but hard work isn't enough to create financial freedom. Here's why so many entrepreneurs still feel stuck. Business credit approvals keep slipping through your fingers. The advice that you've been given doesn't match the results. And you've invested in yourself, but without having the right structure, it hasn't paid off. It's not that you're not capable, it's just that the path that you've been given is broken. That's why I created the Fast Track to Capital. It's a proven framework that entrepreneurs are using to boost their credit so that lenders can trust them, structure their business so that banks see them as credible, and access $50,000 to $100,000 in business credit so they can finally act on opportunities. This isn't about working harder. It's about applying the same structure that wealthy entrepreneurs have been using for years. So if you're ready to stop spinning your wheels and actually move forward, click the link above or below this video to secure your spot in the free masterclass, and I'll see you on the other side of success.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a mother, wife, entrepreneur, investor, coach, mentor, author, public speaker, and virtual staffing expert extraordinaire. She's the founder and CEO of I Need a VA, one of the fastest growing virtual staffing agencies in the United States, responsible for helping entrepreneurs go from working in the business to working on the business through the power of delegation. From working at a janitorial company to being featured in Forbes magazine, her rise to success has been anything but traditional. And yet, through it all, she's taken her years of experience and expertise to teach you the step-by-step blueprint on how to build a business on your feet so it can run on autopilot while you sleep. And whether she's providing free value resources through content on platforms just like this or speaking on stage in front of thousands at conferences all across the country, her mission remains the same: to teach entrepreneurs the systems, secrets, and the strategy needed to build without burnout, delegate without disruption, and scale without stress towards your first 6 to 7-figure year. And today, she's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from North Carolina, I'm here with the one, the only, Mrs. Brittany Bettini. What's going on, family? How are you?
I need that bio.
Yeah, okay? I got you.
I need that.
I got you.
That's got to go in the book. Thank 100%. You so much for having me.
Thank you for coming on the Marvin Francois Show. How are you?
I'm doing good. Doing good. Happy to be in New York.
100%. We were talking about that off. New York has a very like 50-50. Some people come here like, I got to go. And you're like, man, I got to figure out another way to come back.
Yeah, so. I'm like, I was hoping it would snow. So I would be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm snowed in.
Well, we're here. Very happy to have you on. You are someone that I've been following for a little bit from behind the scenes, and you have been crushing it. And this is going to be a really great episode that I'm excited to sit down and unpack. Obviously, I did a solid job of introducing you, but nobody knows the woman sitting on this couch better than she knows herself. So for those who are unfamiliar, let's get them familiar. Who exactly is Brittany Bettini?
Mom is my number one role. I'm a wife. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a little bit insane, and I think you have to be to be a really good entrepreneur. You have to be just full of blind faith.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm just someone that gets kicked down and gets back up every time.
I love it. I love it. Let's go back a bit. Obviously, we see the woman that's sitting on the couch today that's accomplished so much. But before the success that you have in entrepreneurship today, what exactly did life look like for you? You could go back as far as you would like.
Yeah. So I went through a really rough patch, married my high school sweetheart. It became a very violent scenario. And so I had like kind of like a rebirth about 10 years ago when that ended. And I left in the middle of the night with my kiddos. And I come from a good family. Like I came from a wealthy family. Everyone was an entrepreneur. So I didn't have like a really rough childhood, was very blessed, but I chose the wrong path myself and ended up losing everything. I had to start over from scratch. I had no job experience because, you know, I couldn't work during that relationship. And I was going to a food pantry with my kids because I couldn't feed them. And that really set the tone for like the next 5 to 6 years because I was like backed into a corner. I had no, it was the only way out was to just hustle.
Right.
And so I entrenched myself in hustle culture and I was cleaning banks at night and building a business of my own during the day. And, you know, the evolution from there is crazy because I don't recognize that girl when it pops up in my Facebook memories, like sitting in a cubicle, cleaning, you know, late at night, trying to be a mom when your whole life is falling apart. It was definitely not easy.
Yeah.
But what I've learned through all of that is what actually has made me very successful. You know, so I just, I'm embracing this new chapter of being the person who doesn't have to do all the hustle and the hard work. And it's such a beautiful experience to be delegated, and it's a level of peace that I don't think I've experienced my whole life. Because, you know, first daughter, I'm like, I can fix it all
for
everyone. And now I don't have to. I have a team that will do it for me.
Powerful. So much, so much to unpack there. Let's first start off with, obviously you were in a tumultuous situation that you had to escape from. You ultimately do so, and then trying to find your footing, you end up working in a janitorial company.
Yeah.
How old were your kids around that time, roughly?
4 and 5.
So they're young enough to where they're kind of like figuring things out, but they're old enough to where they can kind of have an idea of like, all right, what's going on?
Yeah.
What were those conversations with them like around that point in time, if any at all, about like, hey, like, I know you guys see that we're making a lot of changes here. This is what mom has to deal with right now.
We just celebrated my 12-year-old son's birthday a couple weeks ago, and a Facebook memory popped up, and it was of him eating this birthday cake when he was turning 4 years old. And I couldn't afford to buy him a... It was, we had just left. We're losing our house. My landlord was like, if you're not married, they were like real Christian values kind of people. They were like, if you're not married, we can't, we're not renewing your lease.
Wow.
So I was like, okay, cool. So now I'm homeless on top of everything else. Great, thanks. Very Christian of you. And so I couldn't afford a cake or a birthday gift for my son. And I called my parents. They lived in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina at the time. And I was like, can you help me, please help me.
Right.
And they sent a birthday cake, like Uber Eats or like, you know, delivery.
Right.
And that's all he had. And I remember crying, holding him that night. And Betty always slept with me during that time. And I was crying and he's like, it's okay, mommy. And I was like, no, it's going to get better. And ever since then, like I go crazy for birthdays now.
Right.
So conversations like that, and then flip that on its head when I started to make a lot of money. And was gone and was hustling and never got to spend time with my kids. My son, it's in my book I just launched. He came to me and he said, can we go back to being poor?
Oh.
Punched me right in the gut. I was like, what? He was like, when we were poor, you spent time with us and you were happier. I was like, I was not happy. But to him, you know, I looked like somebody who was always stressed out, never home. I can't play with you right now. I'm building this. I'm, you know, redoing the website. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And so that was the moment where the delegation kicked in. It was him. It's always been him. You know, it's always been her. It's always been the kids that have driven me to want more.
Yeah.
And so I was like, part of me was like, oh, this ungrateful kid.
Right.
But another part of me was like, I have to figure out how to still make this money.
Yeah.
But also be there for them. Or otherwise, they're going to grow up and they're going to hate entrepreneurship. Mm. They're never going to want to become entrepreneurs because they're going to, you know, equate entrepreneurship with loneliness.
Right. Wow.
How do we overcome that? We build a team that can do all the stuff that's taking me away from them so we can still make the money and we get to be super moms still.
Right. Wow. So power. I remember I had a, I don't know if you know a gentleman named Runway Billionaire.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I've had him on the show, and he actually had a quote that he said where he talked about a similar season that he was in where he was just like, kids spell love T-I-M-E, mm. right? So for them, in your mind, because you have to provide, yeah. all you see is like, how am I going to keep the lights on? How am I going to put food on the table? But for them, it's just like, I just want 30 minutes with you and Paw Patrol. Like, let's just, please. Right? So to hear that, that was kind of like the emotional anchor to help you really try and figure this entrepreneurship thing out. Because, you know, for some of us as business owners, we get on that treadmill and we convince ourselves we have to stay on that treadmill of just like hustle culture 24/7. Like, absolutely. This is what's going to be from now to the end of time.
Well, that's what they push.
Right. Yeah. So you never really think about delegation or like hiring or systems, a lot of the things that you've now specialized in. But to hear that that was kind of the leapfrog for you to prioritize that, because it's like, okay, I can't say I'm doing all this for you guys,
right?
And then you look at me like, yo, can we just go back to being poor, because I just want more of you and I feel like I'm not getting that,
right?
It's huge. Let's kind of connect the dots here. So you have the tumultuous situation with your ex, mm-hmm. you flee, you then from there go and start working in this janitorial company. Where does the, you talked about working at the company at night but then building the business by day, where does the introduction to that business start essentially for you?
Yeah, so the janitorial company was started by my stepfather, Horace Adele. He changed my life. Amazing man came into our family when I was like a teenager. Mm. And so he got the worst of it, like from word go. And then here I am, you know, flat broke and needing a job. And he was like, you can have a job. And I was like, perfect. I'm going to be in the office. I'm going to have a cushy little, you know, day job. My dad's going to pay me. It's going to be, you know, great. And he was like, no, mm-hmm. you're going to put on your cleaning shoes and you're going to start from the bottom like I did. He started the company with a mop and a Buick.
Right.
And he wanted me to have that same experience. So I started from the bottom, and then he took me out and showed me how to do sales and like, do walkthroughs. So I learned about entrepreneurship by watching him and learning from him. He was my first mentor
right.
in business. And I owe him, you know, all my success because mm-hmm. of his guidance. It is like watching him clean a floor mm-hmm. is like watching me give a speech.
Right.
Like, it is a beautiful thing. Like, he put his whole heart into this company. Mm-hmm. So when I was given the opportunity to take over, he was like, we're going to sell the company. And I was like, what? No. Like, how about I retire you and I'll run the company? And so I've been doing that ever since. I'm still running the janitorial company to this mm-hmm. day because I want my parents to be comfortable mm-hmm. and I want to pay them back for helping me. So I learned entrepreneurship during that, you know, growing with the janitorial company mm-hmm. and then COVID happened and I was like bored because I couldn't mm-hmm. be out selling. So here I was 9 months pregnant. I got remarried, you know, had another baby. My crazy. This is why I said I was crazy. Like mm-hmm. you have to be insane to be an entrepreneur. I'm up belly out to here
yeah.
at 4 a.m. building a website for a company that I decided to start overnight. Started a credit repair company, mm-hmm. built it. That's how I found my first VA. Because I hired her to help me with the company. And I mean, it's just like every little step of, you know, my entrepreneurship journey led me to doing what I think God called me to do. Like, I'm currently doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm. But it all started with a mop and a bucket, like Cardi B said.
So you take over the janitorial company from your stepfather. Yeah. You're running that. get pregnant, start another company. So you're essentially balancing these two companies. When does the conversation that you talked about having with your son, does that happen when the credit repair company comes into play, or does that happen?
So it happens when I'm juggling a new baby.
Okay.
I'm juggling being a mother to my already, you know, kids.
Yeah.
And running the janitorial company and the credit repair company all at once. Mm. I was like crying in the shower frequently because, you know, it's a lot to run one company and be a mom, but to do two and all of that, it was a lot.
It was a lot. Got you. Yeah. So you're essentially, you have all this on your plate. You get introduced to the VA and you have your new mom or mom again.
Yeah,
right?
Mom again.
running multiple companies. And in the midst of all that, once again, your kids are kids. They don't see that. They just see time. Mm-hmm. You have this one conversation, and then essentially it sounds like that was like the flip, the switch moment for you. You're like, okay, we have to figure this out. So you have that conversation with your son. What happens from that point that helps you to start restructuring things to now get to that next phase of business?
I went to my business coach at the time, and I told him, I was like, I'm crying in the shower way too frequently. Mm. My kids hate me. It's not working. I'm going to quit. And he was like, you need a VA. Mm-hmm. And I was like, a VA? Mm-hmm. We already hire veterans. I don't need a veteran, okay? I need a what? And he was like a virtual assistant. And he hooked me up with Ken Collier, who had a virtual staffing company. And I hired my first VA, and she changed my life. Mm-hmm. And that was when I was telling everybody. I was like at the PTO meetings for the school kids. Mm-hmm. And I'm like telling the other moms about how my VA is helping me order groceries and planning my schedules and doing this and handling my life for me so mm-hmm. that I can be my best version of myself. And every single person was said the same thing. I need a VA. I need a VA. Oh my God, did you hear that? I need a VA. And I was like, you know, that is very catchy. So I got on the trademark registry and it was available, like it wasn't taken. So I trademarked the words, I need a VA. And I went to Ken and I was like, teach me, mm-hmm. you know, what you do. And it's like history from there. Like I am so entrenched in the Filipino culture and the VA game now. I sold off the credit repair company. Mm. I delegated everything that I could for the janitorial company. And this is all I do is talk about VAs.
That's it. How has now starting that company transformed, going from, hey, I wish we were, can we go back to being broke, to now how it's transformed your day-to-day life now?
Now that the kids are sick of me, they're like,
it's like,
they're like, you're here again.
Right.
No, I mean, it's great because I get to do the best of both worlds. I get to be the really cool jet setting billboard in Times Square podcast, big boss Britney, whenever I want to turn that on. And then all the other time, I don't have to do anything but just show up for them. So I'm at the wrestling matches. I'm at the band concerts. I'm at the, you know, we're out there riding dirt bikes and I get to experience their childhood because it's going to end. Like they're going to be adults and then I'll have a bunch of money and no memories with my kids.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm focused on life experiences now, right? I don't spend the money on stuff. I want to spend the money on trips and experiences where we get closer together. And the relationship I have with my older kids especially, I mean, you can't tell them nothing about me.
Right.
My son will fight you, okay, about his mama. And my daughter, she's not very violent like the rest of us, but she'll tell you something about me, you know? Mm-hmm. We're all super close, and it makes me happy that I get to do both. And I don't think enough women know that they can. And so that's what my life mission is now, is to explain to people that you are allowed to have it all. Mm. You just can't have it all alone. Like, you can't do it by yourself. You got to build a team. Mm. And that looks like a bunch of different things. People are like, I got a team for my business. Okay, but do you have someone that cleans your house? Do you have someone who does this and does that, all the things you don't want to do so that you can spend your time with the people that you love? Because we're doing a lot of things. It's not just the business that needs to be delegated. It's your whole life so that you're only doing what feels like peace.
Let's dive into that, because you talked about how you venturing into the space has not only transformed your life, But you've essentially created a business that's transforming the lives of others because you're helping people get their time back that they can now take. Instead of running on this entrepreneurial treadmill, they're spending more time with friends, family, kids, or just doing things that they love. Right. Let's go all the way bare bones, delegation 101 to really help somebody that may be watching this, that they're making money, but if they're not present, right, they can't make money, or their business is literally putting them in a situation that were similar to you.
Yeah.
If I'm watching this episode and I don't know anything about when it comes to delegation or virtual assistants, if we're just starting there, what exactly is a virtual assistant?
Yeah. So a virtual assistant is someone who helps you remotely. So there's outsourcing countries where you can hire someone for a lot less money. So this is really valuable to solopreneurs, startup entrepreneurs who can't afford to hire an operations manager for $200,000 a year in the U.S. They need help, but they don't think it's available to them. So a virtual assistant, I source from the Philippines. That's my country of choice. That's the culture I love. So in the Philippines, I can hire someone for $6 to $10 to $12 an hour to run my life and do everything in my business with the right training and everything. So a virtual assistant is they can do anything that can be done from a phone or a computer in your business.
What are some of the benefits that come with hiring, going and finding that help overseas versus hiring? Because obviously we're in the U.S. versus hiring domestically.
So number one is, of course, always the cost effectiveness of it. But I love the freedom of being able to work from wherever. So like, I'm in New York right now. I'll be in Houston next week. I don't have a team that needs to see me in person, or I don't have the overhead cost of a big giant office and all of their tech stuff. You know, I save on all fronts, plus the culture of the people that I work with in the Philippines. They're highly educated.
Yeah.
Extremely educated. To get someone with the education that they have on my team in the U.S., it would cost me $100,000 a year in salary. So, and just kind, the whole culture is like based on working for U.S.-based companies. The BPO culture is 50 years old in the Philippines. Why do you get on a cruise ship? All the people are from the Philippines. Because the culture, they're kind, they're humble, they're intelligent, they're hardworking.
Yeah.
And so I will tell you this, I have, you know, I've had thousands of employees in person in the U.S. I run a janitorial company.
Right.
Obviously, I can't hire a VA to clean the bank. So in having both of those things, I can't get someone to show up for $20 an hour. Where I live, that's good money, or was. In this inflation, it's not. But for $20 an hour, I can't get someone to show up for an interview. I'll have 10 booked. One will show up, and they usually show up without shoes or like they're on some kind of drug or something. So like the pool, there's millions of people in the Philippines dying to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a developing country. They need the work and they're so thankful. And you're not able to just get for your company.
Right.
Like a lot of people look at it and they're like, I feel like I'm taking advantage. No, you're changing someone's life globally. Now you are a global influence because my team has bought houses, gone on trips. I mean, my girl's in Dubai at least once a year. I'm like, let me go to Dubai. Mm-hmm. I'm paying you too much. I don't get to go to Dubai. Mm-hmm. So like I'm really changing people's lives, not just the business owners, but the people who I find to work for those business owners. Their lives are changed too.
I love that. Typically, when people hear the term virtual assistant, similar to what you just broke down, they automatically associate it with somebody in the Philippines. But is the Philippines the only place where we can find international help? And if not, what are some other places that we can look into as well?
I know that Lebanon is a place that is like booming right now. Mm. A lot of people there. I've heard there's some VA agencies popping up in Mexico and Pakistan, a lot of different places. It really, I know a lot of people in tech prefer Pakistan over the Philippines. I have a really great company culture. We're voted as one of the best places to work in the Philippines. And my team is so connected. They've been with me my whole internal team, we have 15 people on the internal team. Most of them have been with me for 5 years. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been, shorter, but we don't have any turnover in the internal team. Mm. And I don't really want to mess with that right now. Mm-hmm. I'm in a happy place, mm-hmm. but there's definitely other places other than the Philippines. But if you come to me, you're going to get a Filipino VA.
If we understand now, so we're clear on like what a virtual assistant is, where we can get them from. If I'm hearing this, I'm like, all right, I'm sold. I've been doing this entrepreneurship thing by myself. I need to get myself a virtual assistant, right? What would you say is the biggest mistake that most entrepreneurs make when they're ready to start delegating?
They don't do the vetting process the way that they should. And it's so huge because the things that I hear and, you know, every conversation I have is about VA. So like I've heard it all. Whatever problem you've had with hiring a VA, I've heard it before and I know your pain. Mm-hmm. That you get ghosted by the VA, they say that they're working, but they're not, or that they're working for you and 15 other people at the same time. So they're double dipping their dollar. And there are ways to prevent that. And there's ways to really make sure you're hiring the right people first before you bring them in and give them your secret sauce, you know, because they run my whole company. So they know everything I know. They probably know the company better than me. I have to make sure and do my due diligence of if I bring someone on to the team, they have to be a good person. They have to have ethics. Mm-hmm. They have to be as excited about growing this company as me, if mm-hmm. not more. And because I'm tired, you know, I'm old and tired now. You need to be always thinking ahead and pushing, you know, us into the future. And the vetting process is the perfect way to find the right people and make sure you save yourself some headache. Mm. And I think that's the thing that most people, they go to Fiverr and like they scroll mm-hmm. and they find someone who says that they can do what they need done. Mm-hmm. And they just, boop, hire that person with a click of a button. I have a 2-week process before anyone can even meet their VA because they go through a very in-depth multiple interview process, background checking, vetting, and then they go through a week of boot camp training. And half of the people, if we recruit 10 people for a client, in training alone, we lose half of them. Mm. Because I have to make sure, if you can't make it through my training, you definitely can't work for one of my clients. Mm. So we do the really hard part for a lot of people, mm-hmm. But the vetting is the number one. Mm.
Mm. What is the, when you're working with entrepreneurs who need to start delegating and need to bring a virtual assistant, I think one of the hardest things, especially when you're newer, is probably what keeps most entrepreneurs from delegating, where it's like, okay, I need to hire somebody for this thing, but I've been doing this thing myself for the last 4 or 5 years. Nobody can do this thing the way that I can do this thing. So I'm gonna just keep pushing off bringing this individual in. For a lot of the clients that you work with, is there usually a mindset shift that has to happen there where it's like, hey, you have to let this vice grip that you have on your business off if you want to scale and grow? Otherwise, you're going to keep running this cycle of stagnation over and over and over again. Have you experienced that?
I experienced it personally. I'm a control freak mm-hmm. and I have ADHD, and every good idea was up here stored and wasn't documented. My first VA, I think that the first like 2 or 3 weeks that she was with me, I didn't even give her a task. I was like, hey, she'd clock in and be like, hi, miss, is there anything I help? I'm like, no, just hang out.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's definitely a mind shift. And most entrepreneurs, especially like hustle culture entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. they really struggle with that initial step of giving away their business to someone else for a couple reasons. Either they're scared that that person is going to misuse or steal their information, or two, like you said, nobody can do it like me.
Yeah.
Yes, they can.
And probably
they
better.
100% can do it, probably better than you.
Yeah,
I went to school for graphic design, and Mab, she's now my chief operations officer, but she started as a graphic designer with me. Mm-hmm. And she did my son's birthday invitations the other day. I don't touch Canva or Photoshop anymore because she does it better than me.
Yeah.
So getting over that hurdle of, yes, they can do it better than you, comes with, number one, documenting what you do. what you know,
yeah,
how you do it exactly to a T. So that way, you know, you can hand it off. And if they follow these directions, why do you think a cheeseburger from McDonald's in California tastes exactly like a cheeseburger from McDonald's in North Carolina? Mm. Because there's a blueprint. And yeah. I mean, like, it tells you how many snaps of mayonnaise or ketchup to put on. Like, it's measured perfectly. The patty comes from the same place, from the same cows in both places. And that's how we have to think about our businesses. Mm. How do the big guys do it? And how do they make sure that while they're on a yacht, the business still feels like how they want it to feel?
Mm-hmm.
The only way to do that is through documenting everything so that you can hand it off.
This is good.
What if the next time you heard from the banks, it was a $50,000 to $100,000 approval letter instead of another denial? You've been putting in the work, balancing your job, your business, and your family responsibilities. But here's the truth that most entrepreneurs never hear. Hard work alone is not enough to get the banks to say yes. Banks approve entrepreneurs who are structured the right way, and that's the missing piece that's been holding you back all along. We've seen it over and over again. Entrepreneurs who came to us who were stuck getting denial after denial got access to the right system, structure, and strategy that unlocked $50,000, $75,000, and even $100,000 credit approvals. And here's the real cost of waiting. Every month you go without having access to capital is another month where your opportunities are slipping into another business's hands. That's why we created the Fast Track to Capital, a free masterclass where we break down the exact steps needed to make yourself look fundable to banks so that you can access the capital needed to scale your business. We only do this training a limited amount of times per year, so if you're ready to secure your spot, click the link above or below this video so that you don't go another year without having the access to capital that your business needs.
You talked a little bit earlier about the vetting process. What are some of the common, you've been doing this for a sizable amount of time. You've seen VAs go good, and I'm sure you've seen them go not so well. What are some of the more common qualities and traits that you've seen in the best hires that you've made or the best placements you've made for companies where it's like, I know if I see these two or three things when I'm looking for a virtual assistant, you're going to be a rock star wherever I put you.
Yeah. So for certain hires, you need to hire an expert who already knows more because you don't know how to train them or you don't have the information.
Right.
For me, my best hires are always people who are completely green. They are either fresh out of college, they don't have any experience, but they are so incredibly eager and excited to work with me. I can teach tech. Mm-hmm. There's a training for every piece of software that we use. I can teach you a process. I can give you the blueprint for how to do the job. I cannot make you a good person.
Facts.
I cannot make you have ethics. I can't make you happy, you know, like if you're not excited to be at work and help me build this. I can't train that. So what I look for is not necessarily someone who is really experienced, because I will pay for trainings. Mm-hmm. I'll bring in an expert to teach you how to do government contracting.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know that you are going to be like a dog on a hunt, mm-hmm. trying to find the next contract and then use the information I gave you. So, you know, find you a dog on a hunt,
mm-hmm.
and train them in the things that you do.
Mm.
I started out as somebody who just needed a chance,
mm-hmm.
and look what I became. So quit worrying about finding a VA who already is better at business. If they were better at business than you and were going to teach you, they'd own their own business.
Mm-hmm.
You're hiring an employee,
mm-hmm.
not a business partner. You want a business partner, you know, get your wallet out and go find you one. But if you want somebody who's going to help you make $1 million and be thankful for the opportunity, you find you someone on the ground floor and you bring them up with you.
Mm. A lot of times when we hear the conversation around delegation, one of the things I've heard, and I'm sure you've probably heard it too, is before you start working on, you have to work on the business and not in the business. But a lot of times you'll get told you have to work in it before you work on it, so that when you delegate it, you know how to train the person up and things of that sort. Is there such a thing as delegating too early? So are there entrepreneurs that could be watching this and just like, oh, about to hire a VA tonight? And it's just like, you're not even ready to bring this person in yet because there's either certain things you need to go through as an entrepreneur or certain things you need to have in place before you bring this person in order for it to make sense.
So I don't think there's a time that's too early.
Okay.
I think that not having the means is where you get yourself in trouble. So like if you're a startup and you don't have funding, you don't want to bring a team on because that's going to, you're going to hurt somebody.
Right.
You know, someone's going to do work for you and you're going to have a bad week or something and you're not going to be able to pay them.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where, you know, I'm big on the ethics part. I think that I wish I had started delegating from day one because, I mean, they're learning alongside you.
Yeah.
And they bring so much knowledge of their own to the table that you can... Some of the best ideas in my company came from a VA.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we're developing out an app right now where it's, like, Tinder but for CEOs. So, like, we're beta testing it on our current clients. So you'll get on your phone, you'll be able to log in and see the VAs that we have available and their portfolios. And you can swipe right, swipe left if you want to hire or if you want to interview them. Idea came from a VA.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that I wish I had that from day one.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody who hires a VA that I talk to, they're like, I wish I had done this 5 years ago.
Mm.
Where would I be if I had done this earlier? So I think there is the biggest problem is people wait too long.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're so entrenched in the business, they don't have time to teach anyone.
Yeah.
They have to step away from the actual process of running their business that's booming and they're overwhelmed. It's so much harder to train someone when you're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Because you're like, just take this, please, take this away from me. And if you do it from the beginning, you're like, okay, what do we do next? And, you know, you have some, like, peace about you. You're a better boss when you're not stressed out.
1,000%. There is an answer to this next question I normally hear, but I want to know if it's the same one that you hear. From all the different industries you work with, whether it's in the financial services space, consulting, coaching, wherever maybe that have come to you for a virtual assistant, has there been one position that you've typically seen that when most entrepreneurs or coaches come and they're hiring their first virtual assistant, this is usually the go-to that easily frees up the most amount of time? And if so, what is that?
Executive assistant.
There you go.
I knew it. Because that's the person that becomes... you or like your Nick knows me better than my husband.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knows everything about my daily schedule. He knows how I like things done, mm-hmm. what kind of car I want to pick me up at the airport. And, you know, that is something that not only frees me up in business, but frees me up in my personal life. And gives me the time to sit back and actually decide what the next hire is.
Yeah.
And it's the most common because what movie or like what have you seen? What CEO or billionaire have you ever seen that doesn't have a person with a clipboard standing behind them?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need to talk to them before you can get to me. How do you elevate yourself as an entrepreneur? They can't get to you until they talk to the people in these departments.
Yeah.
Because Jeff Bezos isn't packing Amazon boxes.
Yeah, yeah.
And when my order doesn't arrive in 2 days like they promised, I don't get to call him and be like, bro, where is my box?
Yeah.
We need to do that in our own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to put someone in between us and the problems and us and just like the regular day-to-day customer service stuff first.
Yeah.
Then... not only can you raise your prices to cover their salary because now you look more important.
Yeah.
I pretended to be my assistant before I had one, especially in the credit repair industry, okay? Because people be like 4 a.m, 3 a.m, what's my credit score?
Mm-hmm.
Straight to my DMs.
Right,
like,
right.
And mad if I don't answer in 30 seconds. And, you know, of course, we love automations and we use automations all the time, but... a human on the other end to be like, oh, I'm so sorry, Miss Brittany isn't available right now.
Yeah.
They immediately, in their head, have elevated me to, oh, Miss Brittany isn't available right now.
Yeah.
Like, she's a boss.
Yeah.
How do you get to the mindset of you're a boss if you don't have anyone to boss?
Mm-hmm. This is good. This is okay, so for those who don't know, could you explain a little bit more in depth? Typically, what is an administrative assistant, executive assistant, or
executive assistant.
It kind of name varies, but like, what are you? What does that person typically do? What does that hire typically do? And then I'll share a quick story with you afterwards.
Yeah, so it really depends on the entrepreneur. So like, everybody's schedule and everybody's life and industry is different. But the executive assistant's main job is to make your life easier, take things off of your plate that are, you know, redundant tasks you shouldn't be doing. And wherever you are in your business, that might be different. I have this huge client care department now, so like, they don't. My executive assistant doesn't do customer service anymore, like they did in the beginning. But my very first VA, she was doing it all. Anything I needed, from planning my honeymoon. I mean, I got to sit next to Al Pacino. I tell this story on every podcast, but I got to sit next to Al Pacino in LA for my honeymoon dinner because I told her I wanted to eat at a place where I might run into some celebrities in LA. She did the research for me. She planned it. Whatever it is that's bogging down your time, that's what your executive assistant is for. You know, make that call for me. Hey, I'm running late. Can you call the kid's doctor's office and tell them I need to reschedule? I mean, people don't, I delegate, I take delegation way too far. Like, my husband will get, online and like comment on something, and then he'll be like, was that Nick that told me he loved me, or was it
hilarious?
You? I'm like, we'll never know.
We'll never know. I want to expand on that, because speaking from my own personal experience, I think one of the most destructive things to entrepreneurs that don't have or understand the power of an administrative assistant is those little ticky-tack 5 to 10 minute, 10 to 15 minute tasks. Answering this email, responding to this DM, texting this person back, calling this person back. And what happens, I'll speak from my personal experience. Earlier on, I would do these things and I didn't realize how much time in my day would take up. And at the end of the day, I'm like, oh man, I crushed it today. I was so busy, productive. And I'm looking at my P&L at the end of the month, like, hold on, I made no more money. I'm just, so you're being productive with all the wrong things, right? And what I learned is, in your business, there are two types of tasks. So there are tasks that help you run the business, right? The emails and like, you have to get back to them.
You have to.
But there are also tasks that help you grow the business. So the importance, to your point, from my experience, you have to get that. That has to be your first hire, because they take care of the tasks that help run the business. So the emails are getting answered, the calls are getting responded to, the texts are getting done. But the tasks that help you grow the business, right? Sales, marketing, stuff like that. That's really the stuff that most business owners should be focused on. But you're never going to get to it if you're, all right, let me respond back to this person. Let me get back to that person.
Right.
So it's huge. Absolutely huge.
Yeah. And, you know, those things have to get done.
Have to.
They're non-negotiables. And that's why people lose so much time, is because they're doing what they know they need to do.
Right.
And then, you know, their brands look like crap, and, you know, they're not presenting themselves. And people are like, I don't want to hire a team because I can do it myself. It'll cost me less. You're costing yourself money because your branding is shit. Like, everything looks janky.
Yeah.
Your whole client experience is janky.
Yeah.
They can only get something done if you're available. What if you get sick? What if you die?
Yeah.
For me, I don't know. Like, my husband is an entrepreneur and my kids are young. So, like, if I, God forbid, something happened to me in New York, because I, you know, I had a time last night, could have easily died. Okay. What happens to my business?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, we're creating generational wealth. No, you're creating yourself a job. And if you die, no one else will know what to do. They won't be able to run it. And for me, if I died, my team would run the company easily for a year without any intervention from outside sources from my family. And my family would have an income. And they could decide, do I want to sell the company that my wife built, or do I want to continue it? That is a level of
peace
that I can go to bed at night and know
that
if something happens to me, my family's taken care of.
Yes.
And they'll have the time to mourn me properly. Because they won't have to do all the work.
It's delegation is, if you, even if you listen to most like high level CEOs, they'll tell you like the test to know if you have a legitimate business is, if you can't step away from the business for a month and everything still run as if you're there, then to the point you just made, you have a high paying job.
Yeah.
I remember earlier this year, we hired the person who helped set up this interview, funny enough, my guy Ruel.
Love that.
Hired him earlier this year. And I was the, even me at this stage of my business, I was like, man, I got to be the one to do everything marketing and media related. But there were even ticky tack tasks and that, that I didn't realize were eating up my day. We hire him. And it's just like, what's funny is it was a family situation to the point you made where I had to pretty much be responsible for taking a very close family member of mine to like physical therapy, like 2-3 times a week.
Yeah.
It's eating up my entire day. But because of that hire that I made, business is still running. I'm still making money. Content is still getting uploaded. So like nothing changed. And I'm like, oh, okay. Delegation.
Yeah.
So once again, like for the entrepreneurs that are watching this, that are thinking to themselves like, well, I have to do this. Whatever money you're making right now, holding on to that task that you're on, you could probably literally double 10X, if that, if you went ahead and brought somebody in. Because one, you'd be able to focus that energy towards things that are more profitable towards your business, and or you'd be able to have more of your time to just focus and do more things that you love.
Exactly.
It's a game changer.
Yeah.
I ask you this. What, in your experience, because once again, you've seen the good, you've seen the bad. Mm. What is the craziest story you've seen from someone bringing in a VA that's gone absolutely wrong? Because I've heard some horror stories of people that then lost some money because they didn't have the right process in place. They didn't go through an agency like yours, right? They went ahead and did it on their own and said, I'm going to get Joe Schmo from Fiverr and we're going to make it work. What's the craziest story you've seen to date?
I would say one of my clients told me about a story. She came to me because she was like, it's been 5 years since I hired a virtual assistant because this is what happened. And she said, I hired a VA to come in and help me. She had a coaching business and she was like, I wanted to do a big launch. I knew it was going to be really labor intensive. And so I brought on some help. And I guess they got into like an argument or something about how something was done or how it didn't get back in time. The VA didn't meet the deadline. And so she was like, it's not going to work out. She's not like a violent or mean person. Yeah. So she's like, she didn't like cuss the VA out. Or she just like, this isn't going to work out. I'm going to have to let you go. Mm-hmm. I appreciate, you know, your time.
Mm-hmm.
And the VA deleted everything that they had built for this launch. And her launch was like in a week.
Mm.
And everything was gone. The landing pages, the copy, all of the marketing materials, like videos, like gone. And I mean, she was like bawling, crying, telling me the story. So I imagine how traumatic it was at that time. She was like, we usually were doing like $50,000 or $60,000 on a launch. And so not only did I lose all the money I gave her to do the work and all the time, I couldn't launch. And so, you know, back to vetting, but also, and this is what I tell my clients, I can't guarantee a human being. Everyone's their best at their job interview. We try to interview them multiple times, just weed them out, but I can't put a guarantee on another human being. Humans are crazy.
Right.
And some of them are really bad. So you have to protect yourself. You have to have contracts. You have to have monitoring software to make sure your VA is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And you have to really trust your gut.
Yeah.
Like if something doesn't feel right, protect your stuff. Back everything up. Put everything in a folder. Protect your passwords. Mm-hmm. You know, there's software that will let you give a password blindly to someone and then revoke access without them ever seeing the password. You know. You can't just start off on day one and be like, here's my Amex number and here's, you know,
here's
the keys to my empire that I built. Protect the brand.
I'm going to tell you right now, I got a launch. I hire you. I fire you. You delete my launch. I'm just going to fly to the Philippines and we're just going to have a face-to-face conversation.
Absolutely.
I'm putting a lien on your house.
Yeah.
I got to get it back in blood.
I had a really bad business partnership recently.
Okay.
I opened up a venue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shiny object syndrome. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad I'm over that phase of my life. But I was like, I got all this money. What am I going to do with it? So I partnered with this guy. Turned out to be an actual scam artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I was supposed to be in silent partner for $50,000. I ended up having to take over the whole thing and do it myself. And lost in the sauce. My team, this is how, when you have a good team that like rides for you, they become like your posse, okay? It's like my entourage. So like I was crying about this thing. I'm having to take him to court. I'm all locked into this venue. My team, I remember they're like, can we have an emergency meeting? I'm like, sure. Jump on Zoom and they're like, so we have a plan. We can get his Facebook deleted. We can do this. We can do that. We can. We have access to this and that and that because
you want his routing number.
I got his routing number. Like she was like, we have all of this information. What would you like us to do next? I was like, I'm gonna need y'all to sit down for a minute, okay? Bro. Just like calm down. It's gonna be okay. We're gonna do this the legal way. But like, you know, bad things happen to good people every day. And that could have been something that took me out as an entrepreneur. Okay, you got to have a team that will like remind you that you got something to fight for. And we'll fight next to you. So just know, like if you know how they create those fake Instagram pages of everybody who's important. I knew I made it when I had like 10 of those, right? Immediately, if one pops up, my team is like, oh, we found this today. Everyone on staff, we got like, you know, hundreds of VAs. But all of us reported it. It's down already. I'm like, go hard for your girl. Yeah. So, you know, it comes with time too. You build that relationship with people and then they feel a sense of ownership.
One of the recurring questions we've had on the show as of recently that I ask you, and very fitting given that you specialize in delegation. Let's say you have to hire three employees. And you have three divisions of your business. Typically, every business has three divisions. You have sales, marketing, you have operations, right? And you have three different prospects to choose from. You have an A player. So this person is talented, rock star. They're going to shine wherever you put them. You have a B player, solid. Like, they're not A, but they're also not the worst of worst. Like, I go work with you. We going to figure it out. Then you have C player where it's just like, you just here because I don't got nobody else. Like, we gonna find something for you to do. But,
Yeah.
And you have to put one of them in each division. So one has to go in sales, one has to go in marketing, one has to go in operations. Where are you delegating these three hires?
The A player is going in operations, customer service.
Okay, gotcha.
Every time. Because their experience is going to bring me more clients or not, depending on, you know, how they do in that area. That's tough, man. That's tough.
Take your time.
B player is probably going in marketing.
Okay. Why is that?
Because a lot of times you can completely bypass sales through marketing. Like, if the marketing is good enough, they don't need to talk to me. They can go straight to the website and click the button. So I would rather have, you know, the B player to do that if I had to. And then, you know, sales, I can still jump in and help with that. That's honestly one of the things I still love to do in my business is I like to talk to entrepreneurs. Like, this is all I do. Podcasts, stages, calls with clients. So I'll help the guy in sales until we find his replacement.
So we got A player going to operations, B player going to marketing, C player going to sales. I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad. So I'll ask you this now. Obviously, we're in this AI age at this current moment in time, which also kind of helps with like automation and delegation and things like that. Is it now for you as a virtual assistant staffing agency owner, is it artificial intelligence or virtual assistants, or is it artificial intelligence and virtual assistants? And how do we bridge the gap between
both
the two?
Of them?
Talk about it. How do we bridge the gap?
Both of them. You have to have both. You have to have automations. I mean, my best friend in this world is automations and AI expert. She, Automations Bay, shout out. Everyone expected us to be like, you know, against each other, competition. But in actuality, we want our VAs trained on AI.
Right.
We want them to be able to, someone has to tell the AI what to do.
Right.
Someone has to set up the automations.
Yes, ma'am.
Someone has to monitor the automations to make sure if they break that they get fixed. Like you, and it's either going to be you or a team member, right? So for me, and I love when people ask me about this because they expect me to be against AI. We love AI. We use it every day. It's making us faster. It's making us better VAs. I just taught a class the other night on how to be indispensable to your client, to the VA incoming class, using AI. When a VA goes in and trains an AI to be their boss, they never have to ask you a question again. What? Oh, you mean you downloaded every podcast I've been on, every book I've written, everything into an AI so that you can ask it questions and make decisions for me? talk about going on vacation. Mm-hmm. You know, if I die, they got AI Brittany to answer their questions. What would Brittany do? Okay. And so we're very open to the intermingling of the two worlds. And at some point it gets to where you have to, there has to be a human interaction inside of your business or you're going to lose customers. Mm-hmm. If you call the phone number after hours, there's an AI agent. If you, you know, need to talk to a human, you're gonna get a VA on the other end. It's not gonna be me. I'm not doing it.
You've seen people post their 50K approvals online, but have you ever wondered why it hasn't happened for you yet? You're clocking in at your 9 to 5, you're building your business after hours, you're even stacking your 401K and setting money aside for investments. So on paper, you're doing all the right things, but here's the problem. Growth feels slower than it should, opportunities keep passing you by because the capital isn't there, and you start wondering if building a real legacy for your family is even possible. It's not about effort to commitment, because you've already proven that you have both. The missing piece is having the proper structure. That's why inside of our free masterclass, The Fast Track to Capital, I'm going to show you a step-by-step process on how entrepreneurs just like you are securing $50,000 to $100,000 in capital safely without wasting years on trial and error. So if you want to secure your seat, click the link above or below this video to save your spot, and don't keep grinding without the structure that gets real results.
So at this point, with the mastery you've gotten in your agency and beyond, and the impact that you're having on hundreds, if not thousands, of business owners that you've served in some way, what is at this stage the side of entrepreneurship that doesn't make it to Instagram, that most people don't see that comes with it? Because I think most people think like, okay, I'm going to make this business, I'm going to make all this money, and nothing bad will ever go wrong, or I'll never deal with any problems, or everything is just going to be peaches and cream. What would you say that's been for you, the side that most people don't see on social media?
Honestly, I think that being an entrepreneur at this level is extremely isolating. Mm. You can't have everybody around you. And you lose a lot of people that you don't see eye to eye with anymore. And the conversations get real dry because you are thinking at a different level and your priorities are different and your goals are different. And it can really cause relationship issues in family. And it's always, you know, people are like, I want people to think I switched up on them or whatever, you know, it's like that's the running joke right now. I did switch up. We're supposed to. We're supposed to elevate. We're supposed to get better. We're supposed to provide for our families, and we're supposed to learn and grow. The fact that you're still doing the same thing says more about you than I switched up. Absolutely. I had to. And where were you? You were supposed to come with me. I invited you to come along with me. That has been really hard for me because I'm an empath. I'm a lover. Mm-hmm. I'm a lover and a fighter, but I love people really, really hard. And I'm also the type of person that will cut you off so quick. Mm. So like when we get to that point where I see you move funny, I get a weird energy when I'm around you, like you're a secret hater, you won't see me no more. Mm. And then I have to mourn that person.
Yeah.
Every time I have to mourn that person, and I know I'm doing the right thing, and I know I'm a good person, and I know I'm, you know, just growing and being, you know, who I want to be in life, but losing people because of a business, because of your lifestyle is difficult. And I don't think enough entrepreneurs talk about that. But you'll get people who try to like steal from you. Your own family members will come and like, let me get a job. And then I think it's another reason why I love the Philippines so much, because I'm like, I'm not hiring none of you fools. You're all lazy. Mm-hmm. You're still doing the same thing and you're asking me for a job. Mm-hmm. I know you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't let you handle anything around here. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't make it to Instagram. It is going to make it on this podcast.
They sure will. So you talked about that being a byproduct of elevation. So at this point in your entrepreneurial journey, what would you say is the legacy that you're currently working to leave behind as you're moving forward?
My legacy right now is about teaching the opposite of what has been pushed at us for a long time. And I honestly think that the hustle culture is so toxic for people's mental health, especially. Like, I'm a person who struggles. I have ADHD. I've struggled with depression. And the pressure of running a business at a high level will take people out.
Yeah.
I've seen people take business losses and then commit suicide, leave this world because of a bad business decision. When I went through that thing with the business partner, I was like, I'm a failure. Mm-hmm. Here I am, you know, not a failure. I'm a failure. I've let my family down. No one's ever going to forgive me. And I think that we have to, my legacy has to be that we don't have to hustle like that in order to be successful. You're allowed to be a lazy CEO.
As we, this has been very, this is one of those episodes I'm excited to go back and rewatch it because there's just been so much that's been uncovered here in the sit down. But as we start to close, my final question for you, let's say you were sitting in my seat and sitting across from you was Brittany 10 years into the future. And you could only ask her one question, but she could only answer back to you in one sentence. What do you think the question that you would ask her would be? And what do you think her answer in response would be? She could only answer in one sentence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you happy?
Okay.
And the answer is yes.
Hmm. And that's it.
That's it. That's it. I think that entrepreneurs think they're not allowed to be happy.
Mm.
And I just want to be happy and rich.
and both can coexist at the same time, exactly, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Brittany Battini, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has, once again, been a very insightful conversation for me. I know we have to get you out of here. Before we do, your camera right here. Let the people know where they can find you, what you have going on, and how they can get connected with you.
Yeah, I am on all social media networks at Brittany Battini, first and last name. And you can go to ineedava.com to schedule your consultation, talk with me about how we can get you delegated. And I have a new book that just launched, She Delegates. It's for all the girlies who are tired of switching from mom to CEO and being burned out every night. You can get it at shedelegates.com.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already, make sure you take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead, subscribe, hit the like if you like, and tell a friend to tell a friend to come back and rewatch this episode again. As always, my name is Marvin Francois. That is the always incredible Mrs. Brittany Battini. You guys have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. Thank you all. God bless. And until next time, peace.